you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wares Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This morning, we're going to begin a brief study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. As we do so, I want us to start by looking back in the book of Acts at the beginnings of Paul's relationship. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, but it hadn't been a long time before there was no church in Thessalonica. Not very long before, nobody there had heard the gospel. Nobody there trusted in Jesus. It was a place where everybody was lost. Everybody was headed for hell. And the Apostle Paul was sent by God along with others in order to bring the gospel to those people. So I'm going to read to you from Acts 17, and then we're going to begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In Acts 17, we read this: "When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. 'This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ,' he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other brothers before the city officials, shouting, 'These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus.' When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. And now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Folks, I want you to see And there are intervening events, but I want you to see that on the one hand, you've got a group of people, none of whom know that Jesus is the Messiah, none of whom understand that he had to die on the cross to pay for our sins, none of whom understand any of these things. They're lost. And then God sends his messengers who bring the gospel, and the result is now you have a group of people who are models for others. They are now examples of what a Christian's supposed to look like. You've got a church planted in Thessalonica, and God is there, and he is at work in those people. Please notice verse 4, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." These are not people who are on probation. These are not people who are trying to work their way into heaven. These are folks whose lives have been transformed by the gospel. The Apostle Paul started out by going to the Jewish synagogue, because there were people there who were Jewish, but they were lost. They did not know that Messiah had come, and that when Messiah died, it wasn't evidence he wasn't the Messiah, which some people thought, well, you know, we thought he was going to save us, but then he died. Well, no. He had to die. Paul showed them from the scriptures that this was what God had promised, that Messiah would suffer and die and rise again. That was not on their radar. It was in the scriptures, but it was something they had completely overlooked. How many of you have now walked with the Lord long enough to see something in the Bible that you didn't see when you first started following Jesus? I mean, it happens. It's like, oh yeah, I believe the Bible. Well, what about this verse? Wow, never saw that one before. I mean, I've had that happen to me a number of times. It's not that you grow and mature and eventually realize that you just can't take all this stuff that seriously. Not at all. It's the opposite. You grow and mature and you begin to realize there are all kinds of things you haven't been taking seriously. They're in there. But I didn't know that we were supposed to be doing that. I didn't know that I was supposed to stop doing this.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling.
So, the Thessalonians, people who lived in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians heard the gospel. They had not understood that Messiah had to die on the cross to pay for our sins and then rise from the dead. But when they saw it in the scriptures, those who were destined for eternal life believed and repented and yielded their lives to another king, Jesus. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Paul writes to them, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life is in him. And he says, we always thank God for all of you. I've got to be careful here. I'm going to run out of time. Let me just tell you, it's important to thank God for all the folks in the church. Paul sets an example for us. He says, we always thank God for all of you. Because everybody there, if they're in Christ, belongs. And that's good. mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work. Here's a great threesome. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a poetic way of saying you're doing the right thing for the right reasons. Okay? Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. Have you ever heard that phrase, faith, hope, and love? Does that come back to you from 1 Corinthians 13? This is three things Paul often links together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he says that's where your life is coming from. Your life, the way you're living, the things you're doing are being produced by faith, prompted by love, inspired by hope. That's the way we're supposed to live. Living from the inside out. I'm doing what I'm doing because of what Jesus has done on the inside of me. And so because of faith, because of love, because of hope, I will live this way. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. The reason you're a believer is because God chose to take the blinders off your eyes. He took away the heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. God is the one who has changed you. God is the one who has made you his own. He has chosen you. We know this because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. We didn't just say stuff. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. And when we brought you the message, God brought the power. Power with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And then he says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. In other words, our lifestyle was designed to meet your needs. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And then he says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. How did Jesus live among us? Did he get carried around on a throne chair and, you know, people everywhere peeling grapes for him? No. He lived humbly among the people and devoted himself tirelessly to meeting needs. And so how did Paul, his follower, live among the people? He worked to support himself so that he could give without charge to the people that he was ministering to. And so what did the Thessalonians do? They imitated Paul and the Lord Jesus and became hard workers who were on mission for Christ. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Now, I want you to recognize part of the change that happened with the Thessalonians is they not only wanted to serve the Lord, but their lives became a witness to other people outside their community. They became a church on mission. They weren't just living godly lives there in their area. What they were doing began to have an impact elsewhere. And if you and I are genuinely devoted to following Jesus Christ, one of the things that will occur is that we will begin to impact other people. Now, not everybody does that in the same way, but everybody needs to be a part of that mission outreach so that all of us together are involved in bringing the gospel to other places that haven't heard. One of my sons had an opportunity to go into a missions area and bring the gospel to a group in Asia that had never heard before. Now, what was interesting about that was that there was a group of people who spoke the same language and looked the same who lived down the mountain from the people who hadn't heard. The people who had heard were known as the good wa. The people who had not heard were known as the bad wa. And the bad wa were still headhunters. In other words, they would go and kill people and cut off their heads and take it as a trophy. The good wa decided they did not want to risk their lives to take the gospel to the bad wa. And so people who did not speak the language had to travel all the way around the world to go to take the message to the bad wa. See, I think if the wa had been asked to go to some other village somewhere else, they might have gone. But they weren't going to go tell their relatives who lived up the mountain, because those people are like we used to be. They take heads. It was about, as I recall, 80 years from the time that those people heard the gospel to the time that the people up the mountain heard the gospel. Two generations had passed without the people up the mountain hearing, because the people down the mountain didn't have the courage to go and tell them. There are people like the bad wa who have not heard, and they need to hear. They need to know. Somebody's got to tell them. It would be good if God would raise up someone who speaks their language, someone who looks like them, someone who remembers what it is to be lost. The Thessalonians knew what it was to be lost. They knew what it was to be found. And so they began spreading the message and modeling for all the believers, so that believers in Macedonia and Achaia were built up in the faith and encouraged by the faith that the Thessalonians had. He says, therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. When the Thessalonians came to faith, they turned away from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. One of the tragedies in the history of Israel was the extent to which people claimed to worship the God who is God, but they also wanted idols. I'm not denying that God is God, but I really love this other thing. And so we're reminded in the New Testament, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So I don't have any stone statues in my house. It's not the only kind of idol. Greed is idolatry. And I have to guard against greed every day, because it comes naturally to me. It's not something I sometimes run into. It is my nature. I really think I ought to have the best parking place. When I go to the store and somebody is ahead of me and I can see there's one opening down there, I'm hoping they don't see it. Isn't that sad? If there's one piece of pie that's bigger than the others, that would be mine. Okay? Why? Because intellectually I really think that I'm entitled to all this? No, of course not. I know that's absurd. I would never for a minute try to argue that I deserve these things. I don't believe I deserve these things. I feel like I deserve these things. On a visceral level, down in my gut, I'm inclined to want whatever's, in my mind, the best. Well, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became a servant who was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. And that's the mindset we're supposed to have. Let this mind be in you. We're supposed to be following him, deliberately laying aside our prerogatives, saying to others, no, you go first. Seeing that that's the best piece and saying, here, let me give this to you. That's the way we're supposed to live. That doesn't come naturally to any of us. But let me tell you, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump from there to greed. I have to guard against idols in my life because greed is idolatry. And I am by nature, in my sin nature, in my flesh nature, I am an idolater. And I have to repent and ask God to deliver me and help me to be like Jesus. These folks turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. In this letter, Paul will speak repeatedly, not just of Jesus, but of Jesus who is coming again. He speaks in this letter repeatedly of the second coming of Christ. And this first time when he speaks of it, I want you to see that he speaks of it in terms of the coming wrath. If you think that when Jesus comes again, it's just going to be sweetness and light for everybody on earth, you haven't been reading this book. When God pours out his wrath on the earth, it is going to be terrifying. It is going to be judgment. And the only place of safety will be in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ, you'll be destroyed. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath, you and I need to know what we've been saved from. Jesus doesn't just come so that we can have a happier life. You know, I was lonely before. Now that I've met Jesus, I'm not lonely anymore. I was purposeless before. Now I have a sense of meaning and purpose in my life. All those things are true, but that's not all. I was headed for the eternal fires of hell. That's what I had earned by my sin. And I deserve to be destroyed. And God rescued me in Christ Jesus. So, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers, because he says, you've turned away from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Are you looking forward to that? Are you waiting for Jesus to come again? We had a sign in my house when I was a kid. It hung over the door and it just asked a question. What if it were today? We all knew what the question was about. We want to live in such a way that we are eagerly looking forward to the Lord's return. We're thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming and we want to be ready. Are you ready? What if it were today? Would you be ready? Are you in Christ? Or are you still weighing your options? Are you still thinking, well, you know, I probably should. I've kind of concluded that it's true. I know there's a God. It'd be crazy to think that all this stuff just happened by chance. And now I've seen some amazing things, and I've been reading the Bible, and I'm convinced it's true. Okay, you're convinced it's true. So is the devil. Are you trusting in Christ? Have you asked him to save you? Don't put it off. Don't go another day just thinking, well, maybe sometime. Trust him. Look to him. Ask him to save you. Jesus came to save sinners. That's why we're eligible. Now he offers life to you.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.